following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Have you ever wondered who God is or what God is? Is he a figment of man's imagination? Is God an impersonal force? Or is God a loving, powerful spirit being who has your best interest at heart? Will you meet God face to face someday? Perhaps you ought to know something about him. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames answers the question, who is God? And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. A Time magazine cover in the mid-1960s asked the shocking question, is God dead? Well, I have news for anyone who may possibly believe such an outrageous idea. God is alive and well. In addition to that fact, every human being will stand in judgment before God. But God loves every human being. And he has an exciting and awesome plan for human beings to be with him for all eternity. We've discussed that plan on previous programs. Since our ultimate destiny is to be with God for all eternity, we need to know who he is. Do you know who God is? The world's in confusion over this question. There are thousands of religions around the world, but they don't all believe the same things. According to the Information Please Almanac, in 1996, people identifying themselves as Christians made up 33.7% of the world's population. Now, the theory of evolution also seeks to diminish God's role. According to a 1991 Gallup poll, 9% believe in a purely naturalistic evolutionary process unaided by God. Only 9%. 40% accept evolution, believing that God started the evolutionary process. 47% accept the biblical version that God directly created the heavens and the earth. Are they blinded by unscientific religious sentiment? No more so than many evolutionists who treat their theory as dogma as much as science. Evolutionists often act as if their theory is scientific fact. Lacking true evidence, many evolutionists have made a scientific theory into a religion. Now let's understand, science cannot disprove there is a God, and scientists must never claim a theory as scientific truth. And yet many evolutionists have crossed that boundary and have abandoned their objectivity. The scientific method emphasizes observation, experimentation, and human reasoning. That method has never observed what we call the macroevolution of one new species. Macroevolution is the idea that one species can give rise to completely different species over long periods of time, such as a fish turning into birds or apes into humans. In an affidavit presented to the United States Supreme Court, Dean H. Kenyon, professor of biology, San Francisco State University, stated, quote, "Let us dispose of a common misconception. The complete transmutation of even one animal species into a different species has never been directly observed either in the laboratory or in the field." Now, creationists can agree with microevolution. Microevolution refers to the variety that selective breeding can produce within a species, such as the different varieties of dogs, cats, cattle, or horses that differ in size, color, and various other characteristics, but they remain the same species. That is scientific. But to raise scientific theory to the level of a religion is unscientific. In August of 1999, Reuters News Service reported the following. The Kansas Board of Education rejected evolution as a scientific principle Wednesday, dealing a victory to religious conservatives who are increasingly challenging science education in United States schools. The 10-member board, ignoring pleas by educators and most scientists, voted 6-4 to embrace new standards for science curricula that eliminate evolution as an underlying principle of biology and other sciences. One board member also stated this, quote, "There's a liberal agenda to build up or glorify evolution in our schools," end of quote. He also stated that evolution had been pushed on students as a, quote, "dogmatic fact," end of quote. Reuters News Service continues with this report, quote, "Individual schools can continue to teach evolution in science classes from elementary through high school, but knowledge of evolution will not be required and will not be needed to pass state-sanctioned tests." This is in Kansas. As our regular viewers know, we examine what the Bible has to say about the major issues of life. On today's program, let's see what the Bible reveals about the true God. Even many Christians have never examined for themselves what the Bible really says. They just take for granted what some minister, priest, or rabbi says without ever checking up for themselves. I challenge you to get your own Bible. Take notes on the references that we give you. We'll also be offering you a free audio tape of this program that will enable you to check the biblical references by way of review. We'll give you the addresses and phone numbers later on in the program. Now back to the main question, who is God? Let's start at the beginning of our Bible, Genesis 1 and verse 1. Turn in your Bible to the very first page of your Bible. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The very first verse of your Bible reveals that God is the creator of all things. That's quite a claim. Let's ask a couple questions as we examine this claim. Has the universe always existed, or did it have a beginning? The famous astrophysicist Stephen Hawking, in a lecture on the beginning of time, stated this, quote, "The universe has not existed forever. Rather, the universe and time itself had a beginning in the Big Bang about 15 billion years ago." Next question. If the universe came from nothing, if physical matter came from nothing, how do you explain that? Can science give us the answer? Sir John Maddox, author of What Remains to Be Discovered, points out the limitations of science. Writing in Time magazine, March 29, 1999, on the subject of theory of everything, Maddox writes, quote, "Only 70 years ago, the universe was found to be expanding, but now there is a model of how it began, the Big Bang. At the beginning, it is said, there was literally nothing, the void, Genesis, not even space. Then there came into being a tiny speck of superheated space that contained enough energy to create all the stars and galaxies that fill the sky, with enough left over to drive the expansion of the universe ever since." End of quote. Maddox continues, quote, "There are also serious philosophical problems created by the Big Bang, which can be described but not explained. Worse, nobody has been able to reconcile quantum physics with the other great triumph of the 20th century physics, Einstein's theory of gravitation. Until that is done," listen to this admission, "the true nature of our universe will remain beyond our ken." End of quote. Yes, beyond our knowledge and understanding. I appreciate the candor of Sir John Maddox. Certainly there is scientific truth, but science is limited. It can describe the how of nature to a certain extent, but it cannot answer the deeper questions of why the universe and what is the purpose of human beings. The greatest truth is spiritual truth, and that must be revealed. The Bible is the revelation of the Creator God to His creation. We'll discuss that topic in a future program. Have you ever considered why the universe exists? The universe has been described in general terms as 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars. The universe is in motion. Astronomers have discovered that some galaxies are moving out into space at the amazing speed of 100 million miles per hour. We human beings must stand in awe at the expanse and dimensions of the universe. Again, we ask, why does the creation exist? Why the universe? Science can only speculate, but the Bible has the answer, and will give you that astounding answer by the end of the program. If you have your Bible with you, turn again to the very first verse in the Bible. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In answer to our question then, who is God? The Bible reveals God is the creator of all things that are visible, and all things that are invisible. Human beings are limited. They are limited by time and space. They die. Humans are infinitesimally small in the vastness of space. So the Bible reveals God's challenge to the vanity of man. Turn in your Bible to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He, that is God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. God, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When He will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. Then God challenges us, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created all these things. Who brings out their host by number, He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might, and the strength of His power, not one is missing. The Creator challenges puny little human beings to look up into the heavens and understand who is in control of the universe. As Abraham Lincoln once wrote, I can see how a man can look upon the earth, seeing the results of man's activities, and be an atheist. But I cannot conceive how he can look up into the heavens and say there is no God. End of quote. God calls humans by comparison grasshoppers. It's paradoxical. On the one hand, human beings and their tiny lifespan are like a puff of wind over the millennia of time. And on the other hand, the Creator has given us human beings potential far beyond the expectations and reasonings of science and religion. We are called to join the Creator for all eternity, as we'll later see. Most Christians understand and believe that there is an unseen spirit world. Did God create a spirit realm before the physical universe came into being? The book of Job answers that question. Open your Bible to Job, the 38th chapter. The patriarch Job was a great leader and very wise and knowledgeable, but his human wisdom was vastly insignificant compared to God's. Job 38 and verse 1. Then the Eternal, the Lord, answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? And to what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Job wasn't alive when the creation took place. Neither were any of us. Job really didn't know it all. All the knowledge that humans contain, even collectively, is minuscule compared to the great mind of the universe. But notice in the question God asked Job that he reveals, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Who are these morning stars? The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 20, shows that stars are a symbol for angels. The angels shouted for joy when the earth was created. They already existed. God created the angels before the world began. You can check later Ezekiel 28, verses 14 through 15, which refer to an anointed cherub, an angelic being who was, quote, created, end of quote. So God is the creator of all things, visible and invisible. He created the angelic realm. He created the heavens and the earth. He created humans in His own image. Now, what does the Bible say about Jesus of Nazareth? Is He also God? We'll answer that question on the second portion of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program entitled, Who is God? We've shared interesting quotes and biblical references which you'll want to review. With an audio tape, you can study the subject at your own leisure or as you're commuting to work. There's no cost or obligation. You need this free audio tape for your personal benefit and Bible study. Call or write today. Just pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape entitled, Who is God?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Let's continue to examine the question, who is God? On the first part of our program, we saw the admissions of scientists that science, in essence, is limited. It cannot claim to be the final truth about all questions in the physical or spiritual realm. We looked into the first verse of the Bible, which claims that God created the universe. We also reviewed the evidence of science that the universe actually had a beginning, and what we know as time had a beginning. The Bible also reveals that God is a spirit, and He's created a spirit realm even before the creation of the physical universe. Now, what is God composed of? What does the Bible say God is? John 4 and verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Time and space don't limit God. He is spirit. He's from eternity to eternity. It's so beautifully stated by the psalmist here in Psalm 90 and verse 2. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Yes, God is from everlasting to everlasting. The human mind cannot comprehend eternity, but the truth is, God has existed for eternity. Let's take a look at the Gospel of John. John, the first chapter. Did Jesus exist before the universe was created? John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, who was this Word? Verse 14 explains and states this, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, all things were made through the Word, the one who became Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3 verse 9 confirms this beautiful truth. Beginning in verse 8 of Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul writes, To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Remember the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word for God in Genesis 1:1 is Elohim. The I-M ending in Hebrew denotes plurality. There is one God, just as there may be one family, or one nation, or one body with several members, so is there one God with two members. God and the Word later became the Father and the Son. Remember also that in the Gospel of John, we saw from the very beginning that the one who became Jesus Christ was with God. There were two members, or two persons, or two beings comprising the one God from the very beginning. Notice Genesis 1 and verse 26. Then God said, Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Some commentators try to explain away the fact of God creating all things through the Word, or the one who became Jesus Christ, by saying, This is a plural of majesty. No. From the beginning there was God, who later became the Father, and the Word who became flesh, who became the begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? We saw earlier that God is Spirit. So is Jesus Christ Spirit. But is the Spirit a person? The King James Version used the expression Holy Ghost. But the Greek word is pneuma, which is translated spirit, not ghost, in most of all other translations. And my friends, you need the gift of the Holy Spirit. All through the Bible, we see the difference between physical and spiritual. Human beings were made incomplete. They need a spiritual component from God. So on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said in Acts 2:38, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But how does the Bible describe the Holy Spirit? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, as it tells us in the book of Acts. It was poured out on Christ's disciples. You don't pour out a person. Read what Luke wrote in Acts 2 and verse 17, quoting the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh." God gave of His Spirit. It was poured out. How else is the Spirit described? Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as water, living water, that flows out from us. John 7, verses 37 and 38. And the Holy Spirit appeared as fire on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 3. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus said in John 15, verse 26, proceeds from the Father through Jesus Christ. We learn more about who God is by understanding His purpose. God created man in His own image, in His own likeness, as we read in the very first chapter of Genesis. So we understand the shape and the likeness of God. Critics of the Bible try to say that God is a creation of man, that the Bible writing is anthropomorphic, that it ascribes to God the attributes of man. That is not true. It is God who created man in God's image. Once one comes to prove the Bible is God's revelation to man, that it reveals the deep meaning, purpose, and mysteries of life, he realizes the awesome nature of God, that God is a Father who loves His children. He is called in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Listen, God is working through His Son, Jesus Christ, to bring many sons and daughters into His family. Turn to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, listen to this, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. God is now a family consisting of the Father and His Son is the firstborn of many brethren, Romans 8, verse 29. God is creating in His begotten children right now His very divine nature of love, and you can be a part of that plan. And it's through Jesus Christ that God will bring many sons and daughters to glory, to be a part of His divine family for all eternity. That's why you need to seek God with all your heart, and establish an intimate relationship with our Father in heaven and with our Lord Jesus Christ. We asked earlier, why does the creation exist? Why the universe? The astounding answer is, the universe exists as an environment for humans to learn about God and His way of life. And God wants to share that universe with you for all eternity. God is love. That profound truth is stated twice, 1 John 4, verse 8, and 1 John 4, verse 16. God is the supreme ruler of the universe. It is His kingdom we pray to come to this earth. God is creating a loving, divine family through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you can be a part of that family. But first, you need to prove that God exists. God challenges you to seek Him and find Him. There are many Christians who have a blind faith, but God gives us evidence of His existence and of His nature. He gives us evidence of His love for us. And we'll be discussing more evidence of God's existence in a future program. In the meantime, I encourage you to read the Bible. Prove to yourself what the Bible really says. In the process, you'll find the awesome future and destiny God has in mind for you personally. To help you in your study of the Bible, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program. Just write to the address we'll give you at the end of the program and request your free copy of Who is God? Just pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio cassette. Be sure to read our free magazine, Tomorrow's World, including the article, The Real God. This is the most fundamental and basic question in life. With your audio tape, you'll be able to review the biblical references and principles we've discussed on today's program. There's no cost or obligation. Just phone or write today for your free audio tape entitled, Who is God?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
We hope you'll join us every week on Tomorrow's World. Dr. Meredith and I will be discussing the most important questions and issues relevant to your life and to your future. Several very significant Bible prophecies are just now being fulfilled. You need to be aware of current trends and what lies ahead. So be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.